I have 11 years sober today, October 29th, 2022. I have 11 years clean, 11 years. I have not smoked a joint, 11 years. I have not had a little sip of Pinot Noir. 11 years I have not snorted, fucking smoked, ate shrooms, nothing. Nothing of the sort. Nothing of the goddamn sort. And I wanted to share my a little bit of my story with you, or just talk about my journey a little bit, because how could I not, you know? It's my sober birthday. What am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? Something else? Listen to how not funny I am all of a sudden. Fuck. Okay. I'm going to read one of my favorite pages from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just like a couple sentences that I love, because I just want to, because it's my sober birthday and I like this paragraph. I always found it really powerful. Ready? Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Until I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Oh, so, and then I like this little thing after. Be assured that acceptance does not mean resigning yourself to the idea that you can do nothing about anything. Accepting reality makes you strong and stable, not weak and passive. As noted in the Serenity Prayer, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change goes hand in hand with the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. So, you know, I love it. I love that. It brings a lot of peace to me when I read that little bit. But I have to be honest with you, today I have felt like I would have checked myself into a mental institution, but I was just a little busy, so I didn't. No, I have been feeling today like incredibly just off, you know? Just anxious, and like my brain is just all over the place. I know that it could be hormonal. I'm due for my period any day, and I know that right before my period I get really emotional and anxious and hungry and tired and sad, this profound sadness, and you know, so I feel all of that today. But the good news, y'all, the good news is that I don't feel the need to drink or use over these thoughts. You know, life is not always easy. It's not always rainbows and sunshine. But the difference today is that I don't feel like alcohol and drugs are my solution anymore. Whereas for so long, they were my solution. When I was sad, it was like, oh, have a glass of wine or five. You know, if I was excited and celebrating, it was, oh, let's get stoned. You know, it was my solution. And today I've found other ways. Like, you know, I've been feeling today, okay? Like yesterday I was fine. Like, yeah. You know, I've actually been weirdly okay throughout the past few months, which, you know, have outwardly, like, you could look in and go like, oh, shit. But even though, you know, we're separated and there is stress attached to that, like, I've been diving into my program, and you know, what does that look like? That looks like me going and finding a home group of women that I can see two times a week. I sit with them two times a week and we go around in a circle and we share what's going on in our lives and the struggles and the successes and how we are getting through the day, you know, sober and like hopefully peacefully. And so that's been like huge. And you know what? Maybe like I had to miss my women's meeting this morning. I had one at 10 a.m. that I love. It's like you walk into this room and it's just all these women and all this truth, and you can just say anything. Like you don't hold back and there's no judgment, and there's just like incredible women that have been sober a long time that have really amazing solutions to life's problems that don't involve getting fucked up. Ricky Gervais had like this really funny line. I can't remember it specifically, but the essence of the joke was like, I don't understand why people lose their shit clapping when someone says I'm sober. Like, I've never done heroin once and nobody claps for me. I've not once done heroin and I don't get a clap. I don't get a cake. I thought that was so funny. That joke just always stuck with me. I suppose he has a point. But anyway, so I missed this meeting this morning because I had to film some stuff. And so I missed it. And I feel like insane today, you know? And then I called my sponsor and she didn't answer. And so I've just been working like by myself. And I think I'm realizing that I do better around other people because I can just get in my own head. And so all of this is fine, you know? It's okay to have off days. You know, I'm at the point now in my sobriety where if I have like a fearful thought, like what's my future going to look like? And you know, what is my relationship with Steven going to look like? And, you know, I'm going to die. Like I'm mortal, that. And, you know, I don't feel funny or motivated right now. And is that bad? And just all of these thoughts come pouring in, or like, I just found out like a family friend is not doing well. And then that made me really sad. Just, you know, when all the fearful, sad thoughts come like pouring in and you just feel so detached from the moment, like you can't just sit here and enjoy that we're alive today. You're able to listen to this podcast. Like we're okay. We woke up today. Like a couple of our loved ones also woke up today. Like that should actually be a really good day. But sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's just hormones and it is what it is and it'll pass. And I'm going out to dinner tonight and, you know, all is good. And actually even more reason to celebrate. Like I'm having a scary off day and I'm not calling a drug dealer and I'm not going to the liquor store. Like those thoughts don't really come into my mind anymore. You know, it's sure I've had drinking and using thoughts like through the years. Yeah. But not so much anymore, you know? And since the separation, I had that gift of desperation that they talk about, because I was dry for like a few years. Dry meaning like I wasn't working a program, like I was not drinking or using, but I was also not, I didn't have a sponsor. Alfie's at the door. I didn't have a sponsor. He's saying, hi. I wasn't going to meetings. I wasn't like doing step work or writing, you know, inventories, or there's so many things, so many like practical things you can do to stay centered. And, you know, I don't even want to say happy, but just like quiet mind, loving heart, you know, just that, just, you know, I'm meant to live in peace, that, just a peaceful life. So I have this program that really works for me, and I stopped working it. And so I was just dry, and I became sort of addicted to work. They say that addiction's like whack-a-mole. So one goes down, right? So for me, that was like alcohol and drugs that went down. And so what happened? Boop, another one pops up. Especially if you're dry, like 100%, like someone can get sober off drugs and alcohol, and then all of a sudden their sex and love addiction pops up, or their gambling addiction pops up, or their food addiction pops up, or their shopping addiction pops up, or their social media addiction pops up. Like for me, I became addicted to success and to social media. It's like, fuck, dude, for an addict, it's crazy, because you get all this dopamine, and it's not even just from posting and getting likes, and that's all awesome, and it is. But it's also even just scrolling, the amount of dopamine that's released from like watching these videos, these short like TikToks or Reels or, you know, YouTube Shorts, it's like wild. And so we're just like desperately like continuously seeking dopamine hits. I feel like now more than ever. And so it's not really that strange that people are more depressed and anxious, you know, now than ever before, because we're just like, with all this technology, we're like fucking constantly seeking that fucking serotonin or dopamine high, you know? So I just, it's really interesting, because it's like, it's my job and I love it. And I think there's a lot of good, but I also think it could be dangerous if you don't really watch it. You know, do you ever find yourself like, all of a sudden you look down and you're just on Instagram and you're like, how did I get there? I don't even remember hitting Instagram. And all of a sudden I'm looking at stories or Reels, or how did I get here? It's the first thing in the morning. What am I doing? Stop it. Put your phone down, you know, and fucking meditate, you know? God damn. I am really working on my health. So I lost like 10 pounds, which is a lot for me because I wasn't overweight before. So I lost 10 pounds. I finally got the scale, y'all, from last week. I finally got the scale, and I cannot believe I'm 10 pounds lighter. That's crazy. So I'm really working hard at, you know, just getting my appetite back, and it is coming back. Like it really is. But that first month after the whole crisis, I just couldn't eat. I was felt like nauseous all the time, but I still didn't drink and use. So anyway, I'm slowly gaining. This is probably a good time to talk about my new partner, which has a product that I use literally every day. And I am going to read some of this because it's a mouthful. So they're called AG1. I don't know if you've heard of them, but y'all, I take this stuff every day. I've been taking it every day for the last 2 weeks. And it's like the shit you get excited about in your 30s is funny. Like I get excited about grocery shopping and like a good new book to dive into, or like a new supplement that has everything in it. Like this is so exciting to me. I think too, especially like I'm a mom now, like I, you know, I'm in my 30s. I want to be around a long time. I want to be healthy. I want to take care of my body. Like I care about this shit. And so when they approached me and I was like, are you vegan? And they're like, yes. I'm like, whoa. So they're plant-based. Okay. The guy who invented it had like major gut health, which I had after I had kids. I had some gut problems. So when I heard that it was really good for gut health, it gives you more energy, optimizes your immune system, you know, I was like, dude, I'm sold. So literally it's just one scoop a day in water. What I do is I do one scoop of this awesome supplement with ice cold water, or like, you know, whatever, cold water. And I squeeze a whole lemon in there too. I just love lemony shit. It's good. It tastes good without, but I love it with lemon. And I just have it every morning and it's really exciting. So now, okay. So with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens. I really hope I'm saying that right. So I just love it because you're not having to take 1,000 vitamins and, you know, supplements. It's just like one scoop a day. It's so easy. And you're getting so 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients. I mean, come on. Like I said, it's totally vegan, gluten-free, contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs. What else is great about this? Oh, your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is also so important to add in these winter months when we don't get as much sunlight. It costs less than $3 a day. So you're investing in your health and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements for yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Come on now. I mean, I'm all about this because I think, like, especially in America, the healthcare is just fucked. Hold on. Close. Healthcare, obviously, it's a joke. And so I'm all about, you know, like, how can we prevent diseases? How can we prevent getting sick? Like, let's take those preventative actions and take that seriously, you know? So anyway, I am so excited about this. Let me just make sure I'm not missing out on any. Okay. So Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/idiotpodcast. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/idiotpodcast to take ownership of your health and to pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Come on, y'all. So I mean, and I'll keep you updated on the effects it's having because I have only been taking it for 2 weeks, but like I am going to take this religiously. So instead of taking vodka shots in the morning, which actually I never did, I was a binge drinker, I'm going to be taking AG1 shots. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. athleticgreens.com/idiotpodcast. Go there. Okay. Free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and, 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So yay, we did it. We got through that. And I'm, like I said, the shit you get excited about in your 30s. It's funny. Anyway, so yeah, today I don't feel the need to drink or use. I've got tools now to deal with my life. It's not to say that life's always easy, although I will say that I overall have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I would not have that if it wasn't for my sobriety. For me personally, and maybe for some of you listening, you can relate, and I'm sure a lot of you don't relate, but it got to the point where my life truly became unmanageable. I started putting alcohol and drugs before things I cared about, before my friends, before my work, before my health. And I could just see it progressing. I could see this. And I was like a binge drinker, so I would go weeks even sometimes without it. And then when I would have a drink with friends, I just really struggled to stop. And I think that's a big misconception people have about alcoholism. They think you have to be like homeless on the street and getting wasted at 8 a.m. every morning. No, that was not me. That was never me. In fact, when I told my friends that I was getting sober, they were like, "You have a problem?" Like they didn't even know. But I knew. And it was like when I started, the obsession was released and I couldn't stop. And it runs in my family. You know, it's all over my family. The only sober one in my family is my aunt Denise, who I went to go visit, who's on hospice now. I just spoke with her the other day. She didn't say anything back. She's not really speaking now, but she looked at me and she sort of smiled just a little bit. But she was the first one to really sit me down and say, "You look like shit, Laura. Your hair looks like a rat's nest. You need to get sober. Go to AA or you're going to die." I was like, oh my God, my hair looks bad. I've got to get clean. I can't look like shit. But yeah, I could see it progressing. I could see that the obsession was becoming more. I needed more substance and alcohol to get high. And then like by the end, I honestly feel like nothing worked. Like I don't smoke cocaine. And then all of a sudden I like smoked cocaine. Like what the fuck am I doing? You know, because it didn't work to snort it. Like nothing happens. I was like, oh, maybe I'll just smoke it. That can't be. Oh wait, is that crack? Hold on. What? Am I smoking? Like that was where it ended up in the end, you know? And it was like crazy. I was just trying so hard to numb out and not feel my feelings. And when you have that active addiction, it's like nothing's more important than that thing. So you don't care about anything else. And like I said, it's all over my family. My cousin, my beautiful cousin, overdosed just over a year ago. And she had a 7-year-old son, and she and I were very, very close. And she would call me throughout the years, like, Laura, I'm trying to get clean. She would have, you know, short stints of sobriety, and then she would relapse. And when she called me a month before she died, and she sounded really happy. She was very exciting. She had a lot of exciting life news, and she just seemed in a really good place. And we talked for an hour and it was great. And then a month later she overdosed. I think it could have been fentanyl related, because that is just wild. That is just taking people out. It's so much more dangerous than it was even when I was, you know, drinking and using. But I can say, like, even though, it's just a cunning, baffling, powerful disease. And even though like I have days that are off, overall, I truly have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I get to do what I love for a living. I have two beautiful kids. I have my health. I have great friends. I have good relationship with my family. And I'm not saying this all to brag. I'm saying that this life is possible for anyone. All you need, really, if you feel like you have an addiction, and again, hear me out, it doesn't have to be just alcohol or drugs. It could be, like I said, anything that's causing your life to become unmanageable. It could be, honestly, a codependent relationship, right? Which I absolutely had. Or it could be sex and love, or porn, or food, or gambling, or shopping. You know, there's so many things we use to try and attempt to fill that hole in the soul. And so I'm just here to tell you, to show you that if you have just a little bit of willingness and open-mindedness, you too can get sober if that's what you want. And you too can have a life beyond your wildest dreams if that's what you want. Because for me at the end, it was like I was living in this perpetual state of like fear and sadness. And I'm like, life definitely is supposed to be more than this, right? Like I was to the point where I didn't care if I woke up in the morning. I was dangerously impulsive, you know, and and I was like, life is definitely meant to be more than this, right? And then I had this moment of clarity when I was like, if I don't get clean, I'm never going to achieve my potential. I'm never going to be who I'm meant to be, because these fucking drugs and alcohol are getting in the way of who I'm truly meant to be. So it wasn't like an external bottom, meaning I wasn't on Skid Row. You know, I was still in an apartment, but I just was prioritizing drugs and alcohol over everything. And I didn't care if I woke up, and I was needing more drugs and nothing was working. So it was not good at the end. And I had that moment of clarity, and I went into the rooms of AA, which is free. You know, you walk in, you get a coffee, and you just listen, and you take what you like and you leave the rest. And I, you know, got a sponsor, and that was when I was like 23, honestly. And then I went in and out of the rooms until 24. And then at 24, I got 6 months sober, and then I relapsed. And then at 25, I got sober for good. So it is possible, y'all. And I didn't even really get into like my story of what it was like, but I can say now, like, I have this amazing design for a living that works for me, and it doesn't involve like numbing out on drugs or alcohol. Now, do I need to watch the cross addictions? Fuck yes, I do. Is the whack-a-mole real? Fuck yes, it is. So right now I would say, you know, I've, you know, detached myself from the codependency. So I'm working on that. There's a lot of work there. I've really come to realize that I really do have daddy issues. And so there's a lot of work to be done there. And then also like social media, dude, like it, just even earlier today, the way that I was just mindlessly scrolling when I have so much to do, and it was such a compulsion. And I was like, ugh, stop it. And I remember saying, stop, Laura, put your phone down. And then within like 2 minutes, my phone was back in my hand. And so it's just very clear to me that's an addiction too. And I know for sure I'm not alone in that. So it's always a work in progress. It's progress, not perfection. It's one day at a time. You know, it's trusting that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and my higher power will reveal to me the next right action. And all I have to do is put one foot in front of the other, you know, keep my side of the street clean, meaning if I wronged someone, promptly make amends. If I'm in fear, figure out a better way, you know. If I'm resentful, try my best to, for me, this is just for me, this is like the tools that I need to stay sober. They say resentment is our number one offender. It's the first thing that will take us out and lead us to the drink. A normie, meaning someone that can drink and use normally, like most of my friends, they can walk around being pissed off with someone. An alcoholic, not so much. We need to learn how to forgive everything and everyone to the best of our ability if we want to stay sober, because resentments are the number one offender. So, and I know what you're thinking. Well, some people don't deserve forgiveness. You know, I didn't have a part in that situation. They were an abuser. They were, you know, this or that. I hear you. But for me, I have to be able to become willing to forgive, because I want to live. I don't want to go back out and use. And, you know, you hear the disease is doing push-ups while you're clean. So if I were to go back out and use, it could be a million times worse. So I want to live. I want to be sober and present and connected to my children and live up to my potential and do what I love for a living and be sober and present and actually get to enjoy and experience this life and not numb out, but like learn and grow through the crisis, learn and grow through the hardships. Before, it was like something shitty would happen and I would get high or drink over it, and I would never learn and grow. There was no growth. And for the last 11 years, I've been able to learn and grow and evolve and have this beautiful life. Sure, there's some shitty days, but I still don't have to drink or use over it. It's all an opportunity for me to learn and grow. And also share my experience, strength, and hope with all of you. You know, sometimes the hardships are like, can help save someone else because they don't feel so alone. Damn, I was saying something else and it kind of slipped my mind there. But yes, resentment. Sometimes our only part in a justified resentment is holding on to it, is not becoming willing to let go. Sometimes that's it. It's just becoming willing to let go of it, because to not do that is to die. For me. This is all for me. This is like me sharing with you my story, nothing else. I'm not telling you to stop smoking weed. You can smoke weed if you want. I can't smoke weed. It's not for me. Anyway, I love you so much. I'm out to dinner. This is so exciting. Thank you for coming along this journey with me. And if you have any like questions about, you know, my sobriety and my journey, go ahead and drop a comment on YouTube. because I'm sure I miss like a ton of shit. So ask away. Nothing's too personal. And if it is, I just won't answer. But I love you very much. Thank you for watching. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. And I love you. Oh, is that a mosquito? You fucker. Sorry. They're like the one bug I just will kill shamelessly. Okay. Yay. We did it. Until next time. Oh, make sure to follow on Spotify or subscribe to my YouTube. I post these videos every Thursday. All right. I love you so much. And as always, 5 things you're grateful for. Just think about them right now. It's really, really hard to be pissed off and grateful at the same time. So much love to you. And we did it. We made it another day. Go us. We did it.
Yay. We're the best. Ow.